One thing about the world of small business federal contractors, it's always changing. And one reason is that companies enrolled in the 8A program eventually have to graduate. And graduating companies can leave a great opportunity for companies still in their protected status. We get more now from Duncan Amos, a quantitative analyst for Bloomberg Government. Duncan, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
All right. So I guess my first question is kind of a backgrounder. I guess you can be a small business forever, but you can only be an 8A for so long. So why do people choose 8A when eventually you have to graduate?
That's correct. So the 8A program is designed to not just help small businesses, but help small disadvantaged businesses compete in the federal marketplace. It's a 9-year program, and during that time, 8A participants get certain mentorship, they get certain contracts that not only just are only going to small businesses, but they're only designed to go to 8A businesses in particular. And as I said, the program lasts only 9 years. There's like two different parts. The first 5 is building it up, and the 4 is kind of this exit mentoring period. And what we've noticed is that there's kind of a discrepancy between 8A contracts that an 8A contractor might hold when that expires and when they might graduate from the program, because that means that these incumbents can't then recompete for the contracts that they're holding. That has to go to another 8A company that represents a whole universe of potential opportunities that entering 8A companies might be able to take advantage of.
So once you get big, then you can, you've got to get the heck out of Dodge and go on and compete with the big boys.
Now, it's not necessarily that the companies are getting big. Now, companies can graduate out of the program if they get too big or they get bought up. The idea is that this is helping a disadvantaged company compete better in the federal marketplace and in the private sector.
So you can graduate regardless of, you could even shrink, but if 9 years is up, you're out.
That's correct.
So what you found is that a lot of them are graduating and there's kind of a vacuum left behind them in terms of the contracts they once held. So how does that work?
Yeah, so they said, an 8A company might hold a number of contracts that are specifically going to only 8A companies. There's a discrepancy between that contract expires if it's after their 8A graduation date. Now, we kind of segmented the market because these are, by definition, small businesses, and, you know, looking at the entire market might not be useful for a small business if they're only working in a niche area of the market. So we started by looking at this knowledge-based services category. Now, this covers everything from professional services, program management, engineering, and it's the largest federal spending category. So we thought that'd be a good starting place to look, and we found that, you know, every year at least 100 companies are graduating from this program and are holding, you know, over 1,400 contracts that then might be able to go to new 8A companies.
So when they graduate, then they don't take the contract with them.
Well, they can hold it, they can graduate, and it doesn't necessarily end on their graduation date, but it just means that when that contract, if it goes up for recompete, they can no longer go for it. And so they kind of lose that incumbent advantage that many companies might have on a contract.
So just to look at this from the flip side then, if you're an agency contracting officer and you are awarding to 8As to meet your small business contracting goals, and if you know that company, say, has 2 years to graduates, you probably wouldn't want to give it a 3-year task order if you want to keep that work with an 8A.
You might think that, but we actually do see that companies might only have a month left on there until they graduate, but they're still able to get 8A contracts. It doesn't seem like it's a huge issue for contracting officers, but it's certainly something to bring into consideration.
All right, so which agencies are the ripest in terms of up-and-coming 8As as the other ones get pushed overboard?
So in terms of dollar amounts, we actually saw that NASA has the biggest opportunities for 8A companies. It's over $600 million over the next few years. Now, you know, I talked about this people graduating from the 8A program. There are some exceptions. A lot of these community-based corporations, particularly what we've referred to as Alaska Native corporations, are allowed to stay in the 8A program through the creation of subsidiaries. So we looked at it as two different ways. There's both competitive-based money and what money might be held by these companies that might be able to recompete, so non-competitive money. But even at NASA, we're looking at close to $400 million over the next few years of expiring contracts. After NASA, we see Health and Human Services as a big opportunity, the Army, the Air Force, and then HUD, Housing and Urban Development.
You said these are $400 million at NASA and some of the other agencies for these types of professional services and other types of service contracts, not things, not manufacturing, for example.
That is correct. And, you know, there are different restrictions on 8As set aside on how much money can go to services and how much can go to manufacturing.
All right. So if there's a $400 million opportunity, then that means your company, if you're an 8A, you have to do what it is that is being vacated by another 8A. And it sounds it's not just commodity types of things where you can come in and sell the same pencils under a different corporate rubric.
That's correct. And what's good about looking at these discrepancies is that, you know, you can say that this company has graduated this year, but the opportunity is still 2 or 3 years out. So this is like really good way that you can really get ahead of any kind of RFPs, start talking to any contracting officers, talking to program managers. You know, even though the RFP might not drop for another 3 years, you know who to talk to.
And you could also probably hire the people that are at the company doing the work that's going to graduate.
You certainly could.
I mean, do we see that happening? And I guess the other phenomenon I want to ask about is to what extent, by the way, we're speaking with Duncan Amos. He's a quantitative analyst at Bloomberg Government. To what extent do companies that graduate reformulate with new corporate papers and start all over again?
That's a really good question, and that would be hard to track because you'd actually have to track the individuals owning the company. But my guess is that it's not super common, and the reason being is there are restrictions on, you know, how much these disadvantaged individuals can hold in different companies. The Small Business Administration might look at you and say, well, you just graduated from the 8A program. You know, we know who you are. We no longer classify you as a disadvantaged individual because you did graduate from the program already. Also, many companies that are, with certain exceptions again, a lot of companies that are applying for 8A status have to have been around already, operating for at least 2 years. So it's certainly a possibility to kind of game the system, but it would take a lot of work, and I think, you know, the Small Business Administration would eventually figure it out, and they might, you know, deny your application.
And how does the 8A program overlay with some of the other set-aside programs, such as service-disabled veterans, women-owned, and so on?
The way that 8A works is much more You can certainly be one of these other ones. You can be a service-disabled veteran and participate in the 8A program. It's kind of a way to get some extra mentorship. And it's absolutely certain that 8A companies can, you know, compete for contracts not just in the 8A space. So you certainly do see overlap, especially, you know, in some of these categories, you know, qualify you as a socially and economically disadvantaged individual.
All right, so you mentioned there's a lot of opportunity at NASA. Also, Health and Human Services looks like another area you've mentioned that has a lot coming up. What's going on there?
Well, HHS, in fact, one of the big differences we see between NASA and HHS Services is kind of the size of the contracts. So HHS is a particularly interesting thing because they are awarding fewer contracts to these community-based corporations, so we do see it as more competitive. We're actually seeing they're awarding more smaller contracts than maybe NASA, which might be awarding a few bigger ones. So that's really a great place to target if you are looking to win competitive or a great number of competitive smaller contracts.
And what would you say for companies looking at, say, three different types of possibilities for business, what might be the easiest or the most lucrative, fastest for 8As? There's the GSA multiple award schedules. That's, you know, everybody, that's kind of like the entry point.
Yep.
Then there are the multiple award contracts or the GWACs that are designed as set aside GWACs and MACs, such as, you know, the Alliance Small Business programs like that. And then there are full and open, where the agency nevertheless intends to award to a small business. What's the easiest route for an 8A?
Well, the easiest way is there are two GWACs, one called 8A Stars, and now there's one called 8A Stars 2. And these are GWACs for 8A companies, particularly within the IT solution space. So that's really a great way to enter this market. There are a couple other ones that you see. FAA has something called EFAS, which is targeted. It's another MAC targeted at small businesses. And DHS has one they call TABS, T-A-B-B-S. Again, which is looking at program management at small businesses.
I guess the GSA multiple award schedule has lost a little bit of its luster because I guess they're not really well organized around services, although that's something we understand this week they're trying to fix in the long run.
Yeah, but we did see that, you know, these GSA schedules is a great opportunity for companies that might be graduating out of the 8A program if they're looking to still compete in the small business space. So maybe you are a graduating 8A company, you're wondering, where do I go now? Well, maybe these schedules between MOBIS, which is Schedule 874, and then Financial and Business Solutions, Schedule 520, might be really good opportunities for you to then use what you've learned from the 8A program to go apply it to the greater federal marketplace.
So just to be clear, you can be an 8A graduate but still compete for small business or some of the other set-asides, just not as an 8A.
Absolutely.
So you could spend your corporate life kind of wandering the landscape of disadvantaged programs that give you a little bit of ahead of everybody else for federal contracts.
I guess you could, yes.
All right, Duncan Amos is a qualitative analyst for Bloomberg Government. Thank you so much for joining us and shedding light on that.
Thank you.